Mason-Dixon line fits my life. Oh, so right. My Dixieland line.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, text us. That's the way to go about it. Going up in about an hour, Dale Jackson from WVNN and Yellowhammer News. And then in the 11 o'clock, my colleague at Breitbart News, Bradley and Jay, will join us. So stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the line from Citronelle, he represents you in North Mobile County. State Representative Shane Stringer is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, Joe.
Thanks for making time for us. Do appreciate it. Whenever I have these lawmakers on, first question is how's the off time going?
Yeah, everything's going good. Can't complain. Just gives us a chance to kind of catch up with our normal life and spend a little time with our family and, you know, just kind of regroup. But, you know, throughout the off time, we're still meeting with constituents and different groups and trying to discuss, you know, different issues in our communities to prepare for how we're going to deal with those.
Yeah, and, it seems to me relatively slow compared to past years, but this time, I mean, you know, there was always some discussion about something the legislature was looking at in the next session or – you know, last year seemed to be crime. We didn't really have those concerns this year like we did last year. Maybe the year before it was gambling or whatever, but it's starting to feel, and this could totally prove out to not be the case, but it does feel like looking at January, which is not that far away, will be a relatively, comparatively tame legislative session for 2026.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've not really heard a lot of hot topic issues or whatever outside of my district. So it'll be interesting to see what comes up. You know, anytime we're going into an election year, it's not as, or don't seem to be as controversial, but you never know. It could get kicked off and go the other way with us if we, those saying if you least expect it is when it will happen.
Yeah, you know, and I've been around the state a little this year and talking to other lawmakers, and a lot of guys just kind of unplugged completely. Like, it was, you know, maybe it didn't seem like it at face value, but maybe behind the scenes a little bit bumpy, particularly upstairs in the Senate, and there were some little bit of drama downstairs in the House, but you got the sine die, and people really, they needed a the break to recharge their batteries is kind of the take I'm getting when I talk to some of your colleagues.
Yeah. Toward the end of the session, it was kind of stressful and everybody had just kind of, had enough of it. You know, it gets pretty stressful and kind of weighs on you, but you know, once you get out and clear your mind and, you know, refresh for a minute, you're good to go and not that big of a deal. And you're right. I have talked to some of my colleagues that have just kind of, you know, just unplugged and just kind of recharging and kind of spending time with their families and their businesses and their jobs and, you know, regrouping, I guess, preparing for next year.
Let me ask you this. I guess the big story kind of at our level, and I wonder how surprised you were, because this is sort of in your expertise, the decision by the Ivey administration not to reappoint Lee Gwofny at the chairwoman of the Pardons and Paroles Board, drawing a little bit of ire from some of these victims' rights groups that people seem to really, really like her. But then she had her detractors on the left as well who really didn't think she was play by the rules or whatever set forth when it comes to the guidelines of releases. But I am a little surprised that she didn't get reappointed.
Yeah, I've been watching that a little bit. You know, of course, I'm not privy to all the information that goes into those decisions, but I don't know. You know, you're always going to have the left and the right, you know, have their opinions about certain things. I mean, we've seen it with Greddick when he got removed years ago. So it's hard to say, you know, typically my constituents will call and give me their concerns if they're seeing an issue one way or the other. You know, we addressed it, but I've not really had a lot of issues or complaints over the last few years. So kind of hard to gauge and see where we're at with that. And, you know, I'm not sure what went into the decision making by the governor or her staff to make that move.
Well, I guess the question would be then, and we could leave the personalities out of it, but were you generally satisfied with the direction of the board there? Because once Greddick and Guathy came in, remember, you know, it was like we got to change the way we're doing business here after the double homicide up in Marshall County. We can't be letting people out. They did change. I mean, it changed. There's no question about it. It was very tangible, and it drew a lot of criticism. But was that the right move to sort of go that, or is it time to kind of move on from it? What do you think? What was your take on how they were operating?
I didn't have a problem with the way they were operating then. I thought that you know, they were making some wise decisions. I know they were making some tough decisions, and based on criminal histories and information related to the inmates. But, you know, I also feel like that Cam Ward and his group are also doing a good job and, you know, trying to find a good balance there. And, you know, each case has to be reviewed individually and based on its own merits, make their decisions. And I've not seen anything major in the new administration here that's caused any alarm with me.
Well, I guess the fear was, well, at least with the new, now Hal Nash, that may continue this policy or he may not, but the idea that we need to release more inmates, that we're keeping these guys in too long. There's, you know, a whole cottage industry of left-wing storefronts that do this, that, you know, they advocate for prisoners to be released. These violent felons, and my understanding, Representative, it's hard to get a sentence in an Alabama prison. You got to do something really, really heinous to achieve that. And that's, you know, that's just sort of the way the law is, because we really do have issues with overcrowding and with you know, who we incarcerate. But that we maybe for a while there, pre-Greddick-Guathy, it was a little too loose trying to let people out for the sake of easing the overcrowded burden. And then, you know, we'll have new prisons online in the next 10 years, one assumes. That it was a little harder to get that parole.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we were seeing a couple of years ago, we were seeing a lot of rhetoric from our Democrat colleagues in the legislature that was pushing to let more people out and insinuating the only way to make Alabama safer was to release more violent offenders, which made no sense. So, you know, the Attorney General's office came in and did some updates and reviews for us and kind of went over the stats and showed us how many were in on violent offenses and how many second, third, fourth, and fifth chances they had, and went through all the information there, and there's absolutely no reason to be doing, you know, mass let outs or releases. I mean, we have got to keep violent offenders in jail, and that's just absolutely a part of our criminal justice system.
Well, and I saw you to Senator Elliott on Friday about it. The urgency of which you guys had the special session and had to get the prison construction going and going. Here it is, 2025. It was what? 2021 or two? 2021, I believe, with the special session. And I don't know. Like, it still seems like things are moving a little slower than I had expected with this prison construction.
Yeah, absolutely it is. It's very discouraging that we are not further along than we are. And, you know, in my opinion, I think the further along we get, the longer we wait, the more we're going to see expenses, change orders, and everything else come into these contracts and bids, because, you know, we've seen where everything seems to be getting, you know, more expensive day by day. So I think the sooner we can get these prisons built and, you know, do some truth in sentencing, and let's hold these violent offenders to the time that they get, and make them suffer consequences for their actions, I think you'll see see things start to turn around, and you're going to see, you know, less violent crime, and people are going to realize there's consequences to their actions.
Well, and, you know, like, what were your expectations? Because I thought they would, you know, start breaking ground on both these facilities. They would be moving. We had to do it a certain way. We had to do this construction management process, which has turned out to be a very expensive way to do things. And I thought by now, I mean, I know these things take years and years to build, but they're barely going to come online with the first one. I don't even know what's going on in Escambia County. You hear a little bit about it, and they're still talking about how they're going to go about it. But I thought we'd be much, much further down the road by now.
Yeah, absolutely. Myself, too. You know, I don't know. There's, you know, in the business world, this would not be acceptable. And, you know, you would go out of business or go under if you took too long on some of these projects. And but I think that, you know, we have got to become more efficient in establishing these projects and these bids and accepting them and moving along. And let's get this done. And we've, you know, seen ever since I've been in the legislature since 2018, this is a major need in our state to get more prisons and better prisons built, safer for the guards and more beds for the violent offenders. So we have got to find a way to do this. You know, if it's a priority, it's got to be done. And we've got to hold everybody accountable to make sure that they are, you know, making sure they're doing their part to fulfill these bids and these projects.
Yeah, I think, and it's just, I guess, because, like, it was Trump's last administration when the U.S. attorneys, all three of them, really came out hard against the Alabama Department of Corrections and Governor Ivey. And, I mean, she's been through reelection since then, and we obviously had the special session over the Eighth Amendment concerns. The next governor is going to probably, and it's looking likely it's going to be Tommy Tuberville, but next governor is going to have to, is going to inherit this situation and have to move on it pretty quick.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think they're going to have to just step up, bite the bullet, and, you know, move this project forward quick, fast, and in a hurry, and let's get our prisons where they need to be. You know, the last thing we need or want is for the federal government to come in and take them over and basically be writing, you know, checks for improvements or whatever out of our checkbook. So if we want to retain control of the money that's being spent on the prisons and what we're doing, then we need to step it up and do our part.
Yeah. And, we'll see. I mean, I you know, there's a lot of questions there we could talk about probably in a future time, you know, like, we'll wonder what the dynamic between the next governor and the legislature is going to be like, and what are you guys going to have to do to really get his policies in place. But before we let you go, we'll talk about this. And, you know, like I mentioned it earlier, this time a year ago, we were talking about crime. We were talking about, I think even Reed Ingram had offered an idea of a state takeover of police departments that were meeting the standards. It does seem like whatever it is, and I you know, the crime spikes around the country, you see it. Not really seeing it as badly in Alabama, and here we are. It's halfway through July.
Yeah, we're blessed here in Alabama, and truthfully, you know, we've got a lot of great law enforcement across our state, from our state troopers on down, and we're blessed to have that. And we've got a great relationship with our community and our law enforcement. So that is huge in your, you know, community oriented policing and making sure that we're all, vested in this and trying to take a part in our safety. And I think that, Alabama's probably, you know, one of the better better states to look at in how we're doing things and what we're doing to keep our citizens safe and, you know, the relationship that we've been able to maintain with our communities.
Right. And like I said, you know, the in Montgomery, and it's a relatively quiet, and maybe it's even a product of a municipal election cycle, I don't know, but that whatever it is seems to be working, and maybe it is, it's these task force that, you know, and Governor Ainsworth was in Fairhope last week talking about it. Maybe this stuff is really, really working.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it my whole career. I'm on my, you know, 34th year, going on my 34th year, and I've seen it. These task force do work. I mean, they go in and address area. You know, we've gone in, Mobile County Sheriff's Department and surrounding agencies have gone in and helped Pritchard over the years when they were short-handed or having spikes in crime or problems. And, you know, we were able to go in and kind of get things under control for the most part, but you still have to maintain that and do it. And that's where a lot of agencies are running into problems, is just not having enough manpower or being able to recruit or even retain the officers they have to do that. But the task force definitely helps.
Representative, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but we always appreciate your time, and we'll do it again in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jeff. Y'all have a blessed day.
Thank you. State Representative Shane Stringer there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.